You have put a new song in my mouth. A song of praise. A sound that resonates, that all of heaven and earth may worship you. We tread the hills to meet with you, to see your majesty in all that surrounds us. For it speaks and displays the eternal God of ages, creator, author, victor. In love, you established an everlasting covenant with your people, and it's your love that captivates us. As children of the King, we rush in as waves unrestrained, overcome, overwhelmed, that the King crowned in glory and splendor would reach down to place a crown upon our heads. So we raise our banner, the banner we boldly stand under, the banner of Jesus Christ. From dusk to dawn, from age to age, your praise resounds in all the earth. Deliverer, Redeemer, ruler of an everlasting kingdom that cannot be shaken, we trust in the name of Christ Jesus, the only King, forever.
Welcome to Zion's Redemption Radio. This is Fundamentally Mormon. I'm your host, Mark Lichtenwalter. The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. You can find this at blogtalkradio.com/fundamentallymormon. And the text will also be posted on my Facebook wall at facebook.com/LAZURUS1977. You can also find the text and the audio to this radio program on iTunes at Fundamentally Mormon and in the different Facebook groups that I am an admin of. Some of those groups are LDS Last Days Prophecy and Gospel Discussions, LDS Gospel Mysteries, Latter-day Unity, and others. You can find the pages that I admin also on my Facebook wall. And if you enjoy this program, please friend request me or follow me and make me one of your close friends. We try to put out as many episodes as we can during the week. But I'm thankful for you to be here today. Let's get right into the reading today. We are going to be reading out of Ogden Kraut's books. You can find his books for free to read online at ogdenkraut.com. That's ogdenkraut.com. That's ogdenkraut.com.
We are continuing on with Chapter 7 of The Kingdom of God, Volume 2, Moses, A Prince is Born. We'll be on page 52, and we'll be going through to page 56. The text is posted up on my Facebook. Like I said before, it's facebook.com/LAZURUS1977. That's public for anybody to read. And I will be posting this in my different groups that I admin, like I talked about before. The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. And if we have any guest callers, any questions or comments, just call that number and then press 1 at the end of the reading. I'll take whatever calls we get. You can also ask a question on the Facebook, and if we see it, we'll get to it if we're still on the air. I am driving tonight. I am a truck driver, and my wife Kim is going to be doing the reading. I don't know if you can hear this, but that's my horn. Anyway, Kim, are you on? I can't unmute her because my cell phone service doesn't actually work very well. And luckily, it's going out tomorrow, and I think we're going to get a different carrier, because, like, sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't, you know? Like, I have a nice headset that I've got while I drive, and I'm not allowed, as a truck driver, to touch my phone while I'm driving. So we are required to have headsets. I know a lot of truck drivers, they don't actually spend the extra money on headsets, but I spent about $200 on this one that I have 3 years ago. And I need to get a new one, but it's fallen off my head while I've been working on the truck or something, and I've had to duct tape it up. And anyway, but I'll push the button and say, call so-and-so. And a lot of times it's all, there's not enough cellular service to do this, whatever. And it's like got full bars, but it won't let me do the stuff that I am trying to do on it. And like, the particular service, I'm not going to name them right now. Whenever I've named AT&T or Straight Talk in the past, on the radio show, somebody over there at Straight Talk or AT&T decided to ban me from their service for life because I am using my cell phone to call into my studio to do my radio show once a day. Yeah, that actually did happen. All right, so I got muted and kicked off, and it looks like Kent's still on the call, though. I don't know why. Are you there?
Yeah, but you can't hear me when I'm not on this call.
Yeah, because you need to be in the studio and unmute it in order to...
My mic is unmuted.
Okay, you have to do that in the studio, and it is unmuted.
I know. In my studio, it is.
Oh, okay. I don't know what's going on then. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So I merged the calls, and I just called her directly so we could talk. Now it says that it's unmuted, so... I don't even know. I hate technology.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Did you just transfer
over
to the other phone?
Okay, back over there. Yeah. And
all
now
right,
I
so
can...
if I drop... Yeah, if I drop, then you can still be on there talking, and then it won't affect the reading. I wanted to talk a little bit really quick about what's going on in the country right now. And I'm going to just push this again because it angers me so greatly that nobody listens to me, because I guess I'm the crazy man who doesn't know what I'm talking about. But, and Kim can attest to many things, maybe even that I'm crazy. I don't know. But Heavenly Father told me in 2015 to leave the cities, to go to Emory County, to take my family down there, to get to know the people down there, and to warn the people. And, in populated areas, they needed to get out of the city, come out of Babylon, get out of the city, okay? Didn't know why. I figured that it was probably because a war that was coming. I thought it would probably be in 2017, because that was the end of the day count. After I severed the power of all the holy people, which Heavenly Father told me to do, which is the fulfillment of Daniel chapter 12, which at the time he told me to do it, I didn't even know that that prophecy existed or what it was. But anyway, so at the end of the day count was January of 2017, which is really interesting because that's when President Trump took office. Now, at first, I didn't really like President Trump because he's a Democrat, and then he decides that he's going to be a Republican and take the Republican ticket, and I didn't trust him at all. Since he's taken office, like, I've seen him do a lot of good things, and I wonder if he is a meat puppet to try to gain the trust of the people for what's going on right now. And, like, I don't know. I have no idea. But what I wanted to get, at the end of the day count, I was told that this would be the age of desolation. And then I think it was April 6th of 2019 that I was told that the time of darkness would begin. Well, you know, I mean, everything starts and it gets, it's like labor pains, right? Like, they start off small and they get worse and worse and worse, but there's different ages in these end times that we're going through. Now, this coronavirus is a, it's a deep state plandemic. It's a plandemic, okay? And, you know, I mean, this is a gospel phone call and whatever. So we'll just liken it unto the Gadianton robbers, secret societies, Luciferians, Illuminati, all of that fun stuff. You know, Kim and I watched a show called, The Dark Zone, that was put out in 2003. In fact, it's The Dark Zone Season 2, Episode 14. In 2003, they put out this one episode in a series that talks about the coronavirus, people getting sick, a plague happening, and, oh, kicker, I guess only people would know this if they watch the news, and there's a lot of people out there that just don't watch the news, so they don't know, but at the end of the show, hydroxychloroquine was the actual cure to the coronavirus, okay? They knew that this, because they planned it, and because of their Luciferian compulsions, they have to tell you what they're going to do before they do it. And they use social media and television shows and movies and those type of things, and they've been doing this for a while. And anybody who doesn't know about these type of things, I'm sorry that you have never, gotten into understanding these things before, but it does happen. It is happening. It has happened. It is a thing, okay? This is what they're trying to do. So they place this, they get this worldwide pandemic, which, by the way, the death rate of the coronavirus is 0.065%. And if you take out people, take out the equation of anybody older than 65, it's less than 0.5%. And they are shutting down everything and taking away your rights and locking everything down over 0.1015%. This is ridiculous, but they're doing this on purpose. And can you mute yourself, because I hear a baby in the background. But anyway, so they get everybody really angry. Just mute your phone. They get everybody really angry, unless you have something to say, but let me finish this one part.
No, I'm trying to.
But everybody's angry because of all the rights and everything that have been taken away from us. And then they get these four deep state police officers, which I am sure they paid off to do what they did. These crooked, corrupt cops to kneel on this guy's neck until he is dead while social media is recording it. And they know full well that they are being recorded. This guy is in custody on the ground crying for his life. They know that they're being recorded and that they are killing him, and the three other officers are stopping people from helping him, which, by the way, if you valued your Second Amendment rights, you may have pulled out a gun and saved a life. Okay, maybe I'm just a fool for thinking that, but you know what? The Gestapo needs to go down, okay? And that's all these people were. And they knew that they were being recorded, and that there's this social media, and they knew people were angry, and this is nothing more than a deep state psyop to do what they're doing, to start a race war in this country. And you're seeing rioting going on all around the country because a corrupt cop, one corrupt cop, killed a man. And now they got to burn down a target, or they got to loot the targets and the auto zones and burn down, you know. And I watched videos of these people in these riots and these mobs saying, kill the white folk, and we're coming to your suburbs. We don't have nothing to do with it. But these people like George Soros, and I'm sorry, I'm really pissed off right now. These people like George Soros and all of these deep state Nazis and racists want to start a race war, and you people are falling for it. And you get what you get because it's what you deserve. The people that are doing these things, that are falling for this in rioting, they come from a generation of people that think that there is no consequences to their actions, that have been filled with hate by the left-wing media for years and years and years, till we get to a boiling point and they can throw a match into the flipping pool full of gasoline and watch the whole thing go up, which is the plan. When Heavenly Father told me to get out of the cities and to warn people, I warned people for years and years and years. You can find those recordings on my old radio show, The Kingdom of God or Nothing, which is on iTunes. iTunes has 100 episodes of over 600 episodes that I did over the years. iTunes only, I think they do either 100 or 200. But this, you know, I'm sorry if you don't know me and you didn't know me before, but I warned people and nobody listened. And Heavenly Father has told us to stay where we're at until things get too dangerous for us to stay in Emory County. Now, we don't have neighbors. Well, we do. We have two neighbors. One's across the field and the other guy lives next to us. He's an older guy. But when it gets too dangerous, Heavenly Father has told me, he has told Kevin Kraut, independent of me and me independent of him, and one other individual who I don't know that Kevin knows, all to go to the northwest side of Lake Powell, and that would be a place of safety. So if you didn't listen before, and you're going to just stay where you're at until all hell breaks loose, whenever that is, whether that is with what is coming, that has not yet come with the pandemic that is coming, or whether it's this race war that they're trying to ignite, if you get out of the cities and you don't get killed, or your kids don't get killed or whatever, you know, all I can tell you is God in Isaiah said that the remnant, the residue of the people would gather in the top of the mountain. And he would lead them, basically gave the imagery of one leading those people like Moses led the children of Egypt, of Israel out of Egypt, or Mizraim, which is actually the Hebrew word for Egypt. And he has told us that a place of safety is northwest of Lake Powell, which I don't know anything about the area at all. I don't. I don't even know where exactly we're supposed to go. I've never been down there, but that's where we were told to go. So, anyway, now that I'm done with my rant, Kim can start. Am I breaking up right now? Kim, are you there? Hello?
I'm trying. Sorry. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay,
so I'm done with my ranting for the minute, and we only have four pages to read tonight, and it's all about Moses, who in Hebrew is called Moshe, and he is the prophet who God spoke to face-to-face. Like with other people, God spoke to prophets in dreams and visions, but God spoke to Moses face-to-face. Which is a rare thing. Yeshua, who the Gentiles called Jesus, spoke with God face to face as well. Now, that's not recorded in the Gospels, but I know it by revelation. after his 40-day fast, he was taken up on the mountain and spoke to God face to face. I have also spoken to God face to face. It's not just through dreams and visions. I've actually seen him in the flesh and embraced him in the light of the noonday sun. And, you know, there's been at least one witness who was a witness to that, who saw it happen. So anyway, so when in Joseph Smith History, Chapter 1, when the angel tells Joseph Smith that the man like unto Moses in Acts Chapter 2, Verse 3, is Christ, or is, in other words, is Messiah, which is a title, which Cyrus was a Messiah to the people of Egypt to deliver them out of captivity out of Babylon. Okay, he wasn't a god, but he was a Messiah, which means an anointed one or a chosen and set apart one. Yeshua was the Messiah who came to deliver us from the bondage of death and hell. He's Messiah Ben David Ben Yuda. And then there's a third Messiah that comes, or Christ, who Moroni was talking about in this Joseph Smith history. It's right around verse 40, I think. And he says that man like unto Moses in Acts is Christ, but the day had not yet come when he would be rejected by his people. Now Jesus, Messiah ben Yuda, had already been rejected by his people. This is not speaking of Jesus like everybody thinks. It is speaking of this other Messiah who is not the same as Messiah. It's not the same as Jesus or Yeshua. This other Messiah teaches the people, sets the house of God in order. He's the one that is spoken of as Messiah ben Joseph, the one mighty and strong, the second witness of the Father, or God the witness, come in the flesh, which Joseph Smith said would happen. So I proclaim to be that person. Now, you can think I'm crazy or whatnot, but that's the way it is, and I don't know what to tell people. And I'm sorry that you reject it, but Isaiah saw that this person would be rejected in Isaiah chapter 49. So anyway, a lot of people know him as the Davidic servant. I'm that guy. All right. So anyway, right now my job is to teach they who have been weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast, especially the drunkards of Ephraim. And that's what we're doing at this point. That's why we do these radio shows. That's why we read this stuff. That's why I give the commentary. Anyway, so I'm going to put myself in mute. I'm just going to shut up and
okay.
try to get over my anger about everything that's going on right now. I actually care about people. And, you know, if you warned, if somebody like me is warned and I don't warn people, then the blood is on my head. If I warn people, then y'all might think I'm crazy, but at least the blood won't be on my head, and at least I can save myself and my family, kind of like Noah, and how Jesus said that these days would be like the days of Noah, wherein only 8 people were saved. You know, there'll be more than that this generation, I believe, but I hope. Anyway, all right, I'm going to mute myself. Go ahead, Kim, but we'll start on page 52.
Okay. Moses, a prince is born, chapter 7 of Kingdom of God, volume 2, pages 52 through 56. And he, a Hebrew slave, said, "Who made thee a prince and a judge over us?" That's Exodus chapter 2, verse 14. Some men become kings by inheriting a throne. Others have money to buy the office. Still, others manage to kill off all competitors. Then there are those who are born to become a king by divine right, chosen in the premortal state to become prophets, priests, and kings on earth. Such was the case with Moses. The royal lineage for the priesthood and kingdom of God came down through great prophets to Moses. The people at his time were unorganized, uninspired, and serving as slaves. The land of Egypt was ruled by a wicked pharaoh. He was probably not acquainted with the history of Joseph who once lived and ruled in Egypt. After 400 years, the history of Joseph had been forgotten, even by the children of Israel. Although the children of Israel were entitled to bear the rights of the holy priesthood, the right to rule on the earth, they did not even remotely resemble godly priests and kings. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. That's Exodus chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. On page 53, but this was not all. The king ordered the Egyptians, every son that is born, ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. Exodus chapter 1, verse 22. Why did this Egyptian king want to kill the male children who could grow up to be his slaves? It was evident that he saw that one of them would cause him to lose his throne and power, planned to intercede. He remembered his covenant with Israel and provided a deliverer, Moses. When Moses was born, his mother was able to hide him for 3 months, but then she had to think of some other way to save him. She made a little ark and placed him on the Nile River, the river in which other Hebrew children were being drowned. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. Exodus chapter 2, verse 5. Coincidentally, the very people that sought to kill him were the same that actually saved his life. Not only did they save him, they placed him in a position to become the king of Egypt. When Pharaoh sent his soldiers to kill the Israelite boy babies, they killed all except the one they were after. Then the miracle continued. Without knowing the real identity of the baby, the king's wife paid the mother of Moses to nurse her own baby. Pharaoh raised the very child he feared and adopted him as a son. The whole story is almost unbelievable, but it shows how the powers of God's kingdom are greater than the powers of the devil's kingdom. Of Moses' young life, Exodus says, only when Moses was grown, and yet 40 years had passed by, Stephen, the apostle of Christ, said that Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in his words and in deeds, Acts chapter 7, verse 22. Moses received the best training available and learned all about the kingdom of Egypt. Egyptians. After all, he was a prince about to become a king. Did you have anything to say? We're on the next page.
No, I'm just driving.
Okay. Moses first became a hero, not because of being a prophet, but rather a military general. When the Ethiopian armies came down from the headwaters of the Nile, they found the Egyptians easy prey and took many of their cities. Pharaoh, not knowing what to do, called upon his priests for divine guidance. It is not known if they actually got some inspiration to pick Moses to lead the armies, or if they thought to get rid of him by sending him to battle. Nevertheless, with the priests' encouragement, Pharaoh allowed Moses to lead the troops. See the third thousand years, Skousen, pages 199 to 201. Moses proved himself to be an excellent tactician in field maneuvers and routed the enemy from behind and overtook many of their cities with a great slaughter. Finally, at the capital of the Ethiopians, it appeared to be the last major battle, but the enemy stood firm inside of their island city with its high walls and the river surrounding and protecting them. Not even Moses knew how to take the city. Then an unusual thing happened. Sarbis, the daughter of the king of the Ethiopians, happened to see Moses as he led the armies, and she fell in love with him. In this, Moses saw an opportunity to end the war and to save many lives. The Ethiopians not only delivered up the bride, but also their city. Marriages between royalty were common. It was an international insurance policy for the prevention of war between nations. This was the purpose of the marriage of Prince Moses to Princess Sarbis. God must have approved of the marriage because later when Miriam and Aaron ridiculed Moses because of the Ethiopian woman who he had married, Numbers chapter 12, verse 1. Miriam was struck with leprosy, and Aaron got a severe reprimand from the Lord. But this great war with the Ethiopians elevated Moses to a national war hero. Moses came to see his brethren, the Hebrew slaves in Egypt, and observed an Egyptian taskmaster smiting one of the Hebrews. Moses weighed the matter, knowing that by challenging an Egyptian, he could suffer serious consequences. He also knew that these were God's chosen people, and he ought to defend them. When no other Egyptians were around, he smote him dead and buried him in the sand. The next day, two Israelites were fighting between themselves, and when Moses tried to settle the issue, one of them said, "Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian?" Exodus chapter 2, verse 14. The news was out, and Moses feared and said, "Surely this thing is known." Cleon Skelton explained the resulting aftermath. Quote, "Among slaves, there are always informers who seek special favors from their masters by passing along information of misconduct or insurrection among the ranks. Consequently, it was not long before Pharaoh had heard this whole story. It is easy to imagine the scandal it created on the court of Egypt's omnipotent ruler. Not only had the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter turned renegade and gone back to his people, but he had dared to kill an Egyptian officer. This could almost be counted an act of treason. It even might have started an insurrection and a strike for freedom by the Egyptian slaves. In the mind of Pharaoh, this act of Moses was unforgivable. He caught the full political implication of this whole situation. The priest had been right. The Pharaoh's royal wrath reached such heights that he..." Oh man, I thought I was going to get through it without even having one more problem. But I must have pushed something. Okay. "That he forgot all about the mighty deeds of the past, which Moses had wrought for Egypt. The Pharaoh angrily ordered his soldiers hunt Moses down and kill him on sight." Page 56. Did you have anything to say?
No, is this the last page? Or did...
Yeah.
I think this is the last page, right?
I think so.
Yeah, it's a pretty short chapter. So let me just say before Kim starts the last page, the guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. And if we have any callers, I will take them. And she is done with the reading. And if not, that's fine too. So, I guess just go ahead and read the last one, and then, like I said, one last time. 917-889-8827. It is a Manhattan number, or Manhattan, New York. So if you're in the United States, it'll be a long-distance phone number. But you can also, if you're out of the country, a lot of people call from Sweden and Spain and all over Pakistan, India. We've had callers from China, Singapore, and they like to use Skype. I'm not sure how all that works, though. So, anyway, go ahead and I'll mute myself, and then if we have a call, we'll take it at that point.
"What would the former crown prince do? Moses was far too well acquainted with the cruel and cunning mind of the Egyptian ruler to take a chance on pleading for mercy or justice. He quickly determined to flee from Egypt and abandon the land of his birth forever." And this is from, that was from the 3,000 years, Skousen, pages 206 and 07, end quote. "Moses knew he was to lead the children of Israel, and by killing the Egyptian, he thought the Hebrews would understand that. He supposed that his brethren understood that God was giving them deliverance by his hand." That's in Acts chapter 7, verse 25. "But they didn't understand. Nevertheless, Moses was determined to follow the living God. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 26, it says, "By faith, Moses, when he was come to 2 years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, end quote. Since Moses was willing to give up his chance to be the king of Egypt, God promised that his losses and sacrifice would be stepping stones for something even bigger. His kingship in Egypt would be traded for kingship in the kingdom of God. And that is the end of that chapter. And we'll do chapter 8, the miracles of Moses, on Monday, because I think tomorrow we do the other call.
Yeah, we'll be doing the Kevin Kraut and Friends call. Although, I don't know what's going to happen with that, because we let everybody know that it was being recorded for the podcast. And last week, somebody was like, well, I didn't know it was being recorded. So, they made a big deal out of it. And, I don't know. Beverly said something about wanting me to delete it because of legal issues. But it was also like there was some private things on there that that had to deal with miscarriages, and it was just really personal. So I deleted it, and not a big deal. But anyway, so we'll see what is going to happen tomorrow night, because, you know, like sometimes people come on and they're like, oh, I didn't know it was being recorded. You know, well, it's kind of a radio show and it's a Zoom call. And it also says this call is being recorded. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, but hopefully everything will be worked out and people will not freak out so much. Anyway, let me, do you have the studio open, Kim?
No, I don't right now. Oh, I guess I do, but nobody's on.
Okay, nobody's on. But let me see if I can get my stupid cell phone service to work here. Oh, it drives me nuts. All right, yeah, there's nobody on. So did you have any questions or comments yourself about any of this that we were reading, or even about like the stuff I was talking about before?
No, I thought it was interesting to read it this way, and I always like to go back to the text itself, because a lot of times the things that we read, or you know, when it's secondhand information and stuff, the things that we read, mm-hmm. it's not the same. They skew it to their own understanding. And so it's interesting to go back and actually read the text of what happened. Because, for example, when you're watching, it's like reading a book and watching a movie. You watch the movie, you get the director's interpretation of it. And so
yeah.
I like to go back and look, because it explains more in depth the act and why he did what
well,
he did. And
hopefully you don't read it with your rose-colored glasses on, and you actually get more out of it than what your ministers and pastors tell you when you read it for yourself. Cause for instance, like this whole thing with Joseph in Egypt,
yeah.
You know, like we showed, early Mormonism, they were like more like Pentecostals, like, and we enjoy the Pentecostals. So we go and we have, you know, Sunday service with them a lot. Anyway, but remember when I was like telling the pastor, you know, about the priest of Midian and
boy. Yeah.
Anyway, I got to go into this stupid power plant, and I got two guys in front of me, and I got to get in front of one to dump. So if there's anything that you have to say, then I guess you can talk. If not, then the music is Sleep Away. That's the end of music, and you can just play it. I got to mute myself, so.
It is what?
Sleep Away.
Okay.
Coming in with 12%. Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you.